obviously, we know on Money Talk, if you're a Money Talk regular, you know that it is the dual mandate that governs monetary policy in the USA, and the dual mandate was voted on by Congress about four decades ago, back in the 1970s, and the dual mandate calls for two primary guideposts, and one of them is maximum employment, and the other one is price stability. And these are factors that are watched very, very closely by the Federal Open Market Committee when they get together to review monetary policy. Now, those phrases are a little bit misleading because they have definitions attached to them, and those definitions are applied by the Federal Reserve. Maximum employment is not 0% unemployment. In fact, right now we have 4.7% unemployment, and that is generally considered. In fact, this is what Chair Janet said this week. Many economists, including my colleagues at the Fed and me, judge that around 4.75% represents the maximum level of employment that is sustainable over the long run. And again, right now we're at 4.7%. So there are definitions attached to this. Because the fact is that full employment does not mean everybody is working. In fact, you know, there are a lot of people in the United States that are not working because of their own reasons. One of the groups that is not working is children, babies. They're not working for their own reasons because they're too young. It doesn't stop there. There are many people in the disabled category that are not working for their own reasons. There are many people that are retired that are no longer working. There are many people that are not working because they're doing other things. They're doing charitable work. They're homemakers, raising a family, whatever. So there are tens of millions. In fact, there are almost 100 million people. The category that I just defined, there are close to, I think it's about 95, 96 million people. I think it's 95.2 million, very close to that number, that are in that category. They're not working for very, very good reasons. So these are not the people that we refer to when we talk about the issue of unemployment. So 4.7% is where we are, and Chair Janet thinks that that's basically full employment, and I would say her colleagues in general agree with that. And there, of course, is also a definition attached to price stability. And the definition the Fed has come up with is inflation of 2%. Ken is on the line in Carmel. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Bob. I have a hedge fund that I've had for about 5.5 years, and it's done very well. It does options on the S&P 500, and it's just about tripled in value over that time. It is in a taxable account. I'm concerned about the ability to write off the management and incentive fees, which are pretty high. For example, this year I'll have a 1099 for about $350,000, but I'll only have received about $250,000 or a bit more, and close to $90,000 would be in fees, incentive and management fees. Under the new administration, they are talking about limiting itemized deductions to $200,000. I am in a high-tax state, and so one of the itemized deductions is California state income tax. And I'm concerned that if I can't write off the fees effectively, it may not be a good investment for me. I'm not sure how to write off the fees. My accountant has passed away, and his daughter is taking over. And she is nobody wants to leave them high and dry. And we're trying to stick with her, but she's not been very responsive. Question is, and I've spoken to the hedge fund, and they will not give advice, tax advice. And I realize that you don't necessarily give that either, although you say, you know, to check with your accountant. But I was wondering, for a hedge fund where you have a 6781, it's a 1256 contract, and you have a 6781 form where 60% of the gain is long-term, 40% is short-term, but those gains are higher than they actually are, with the idea that you can write off the fees. And one thing, I'm wondering whether to keep the hedge fund or sell it.
Well, obviously the fund's done very well for you. Yeah. One of the questions that arises, though, is what kind of a tax rate is applicable to a fund like this? I mean, being in California in the top bracket, you could be paying close to 57% income tax.
Well, for this type of hedge fund, 1256 contract, it is any the gains are taxed at 60% for long-term capital gain, and 40% of the gain is short-term.
What about California tax?
Well, yeah, we'd have to.
Well, that's another, in the top bracket, that's another 13.
Yeah, 13.3.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm glad it's done well for you, but I would not invest in a fund like this, and the reason is the fees. I mean, the fees are, frankly, ridiculous. I'm glad they've been able to do well for a few years, but I would not invest in a fund like this.
They have done well for quite a long time, for about...
Well, you mentioned 5 years.
Well, for 20 years or 18 years, they've averaged about 18%.
Okay, and what about after tax for a Californian? What have they averaged after tax in the top bracket?
Well, that is the problem. No matter what,
I think it's a problem. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a problem, and that is the problem for me. So, if I were in that position, I'd be looking at the fees, I'd be looking at the taxes, and I'd really only look at one figure, and that would be your net return.
Right.
After fees and taxes, do you know what that number is?
Well, in California, with being in the top federal and state bracket, it ends up being around 31.5%. And that's been met. I'm assuming, however, it depends on how you could write off the fees. Would they go on the Schedule A, or is there another place for them?
Well, for something that detailed, I would definitely recommend you you contact a tax preparation expert, an accountant, or at least an enrolled agent or an enrolled agent to get that kind of tax information. I certainly don't do tax return advice, and don't play a tax return preparation expert anyway. So that's what I would recommend to you for that kind of specific advice. But aside from that, I would not be investing with this type of a vehicle, given the fees and given the taxes. I wouldn't be taking that risk. But that's a personal decision that only you can make.